The next I saw was Antiope, the daughter of Aesopus, who claims to have slept in the arms of Zeus. She had two sons, Amphion and Zephyrus. They founded Thebes, the city of seven gates, and walled it round, since for all their prowess they were unable to inhabit so vast a city unfortified. After Antiope, I saw Alcmene, Amphitryon's wife, who lay in the loving arms of mighty Zeus and brought all daring, lion-hearted Heracles into the world. Megara I also saw, proud Creon's daughter, who married the indomitable Achilles, Heracles, Amphitryon's son. Then I saw Oedipus's mother, the lovely Epicaste. She in her ignorance did a terrible thing. She married his son. For Oedipus killed her father and took his mother's wife. But the gods soon let the truth come out. They devised a cruel plan. Oedipus remained to suffer the tortures of remorse as king of the Cadmeans in the lovely city of Thebes. But Epicaste, tormented by anguish, hanged herself with a long rope she made fast to the roof beam overhead, and so came down to the house whose gates the mighty Hades guards, leaving Oedipus to suffer all the horrors that the avenging furies of the mother can inflict. Next came the great beauty Chloris, the youngest daughter of Amphion, son of Iasus, the powerful minion king of Orchomenus. Neleus married her for her beauty and paid a fortune for her head. So she was queen in Pylos, and born Neleus' glorious children, Nestor and Chromius, and princely Periclymenus, as well as the beautiful Pero, the wonder of her age, whom all the young men of the neighbourhood wished to marry. But Neleus announced that he would give her hand to nobody but the man who succeeded in driving away the cattle of the mighty Iphiclus from Phylace. It was a dangerous task to round up the shambling, broad-browed cattle. A certain gifted seer, Melampus, was the only man who undertook this venture, but because of the cruel decree of a god, he ended up in chains as a prisoner of the savage herdsmen. The days passed, amounted up to months, but it was not until a year had run its course, and the seasons came round once more, that the mighty Iphiclus set him free, in return for divulging all that the gods had decreed. In this way, the will of Zeus was accomplished. Then I saw Leda, the wife of Tyndareus, who bore him those stout-hearted twins, Castor, trainer of horses, and Polydeuces, the great boxer, both of whom were still alive, even though the fruitful earth has received them in her lap. For in the world below, they have been singled out by Zeus. Each is a living and a dead man on alternate days, and they are honoured like the gods. My eyes fell next on Iphimedea, the consort of Aleus. She told me that she had slept with Poseidon, and was the mother of those short-lived twins, the godlike Otus and Ephialtes, famed in story, the largest men earth ever nourished, finer by far than all but the glorious Orion. In their ninth year, they were 9 cubits across the shoulders and 9 fathoms tall. It was this pair that threatened to go to war with the very gods of Olympus in the din and turmoil of battle. It was their ambition to pile Mount Ossa on Olympus and wooded Pelion on Ossa to make a stairway up to heaven. And this they would have accomplished had they reached their youthful prime. But Apollo, the son whom Leto of the lovely tresses bore to Zeus, destroyed them both before their beards had begun to grow and cover their cheeks with the soft down of youth.